Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Herspiration Happy Hour, episode 34, and today we are recognizing Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So today our cocktail, I'm telling you, I'm ready to get started to talk about this cocktail because it is so on point with our discussion this evening. It is called the Pink Warrior. Tell me, is that not amazing?
It sounds delicious, and cannot wait to start drinking this. So tell us about it.
Yeah, so it's made with pink gin and then also a pink peppercorn simple syrup, and then you muddle and strain two strawberries, and then you add this. I had to look at this stuff to even find it when I first found the recipe, but it's called green chartreuse. And so it's a liqueur. It's called green chartreuse. It's a liqueur. And so you just put
green.
It in a strainer. You know, huh?
Green. Spell that out.
Green. G-R-E-E-N, green.
Uh-huh. But what's the second word?
Chartreuse. Oh, C-H-A-R-T-R-E-U-S-E.
And I've never heard of green. I've never heard of that, yeah.
It's French, but I had never heard of it either. But, of course, when you have to go hunting down different liqueurs, because I'm not a big sweet drinker.
Yeah.
But it was just really, it was on time. And I said, okay. And so you can get it in a green or a yellow. But it's just it's like a liqueur. Yeah, well, it is a liqueur. So you put all of those ingredients into a cup, shake it up, and pour it into a martini glass.
Now, did you say pink gin?
Yes.
Pink gin. Like the gin itself is pink.
Yes.
What brand is it?
I am not going to say the brand because we are not being endorsed. But it's out there.
Okay. I'm curious now to go get it at liquor stores. That's okay. So the gin itself is pink. I've never seen pink gin.
Yes. I'll make sure you get it.
Okay. I'm just morbidly curious.
Yeah. See, I'm a gin drinker. So you know, I do my best. Okay. So this is your host, the unapologetic diva, Dr. G, and then we have on the line also the other co-host, Dr. Zoe Zorka. How are you today?
Yep, me, Dr. Zoe Zorka, Dr. Zoe. I'm here too, ready to try some Pink Warrior and talk about Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You know, it seems like this year I haven't really noticed as much about it, like, you know, in the media and kind of like on the streets as I have in years past. Does it seem like that in Baltimore? But I haven't really seen as much stuff about it as we feel like we have before. Is it like that in Baltimore?
Well, yes, only because I know friends that are going through it. There are, you know, it's more present around me than I prefer. But I mean, just having friends who have gone through it, who are going through it, or, you know, just making sure that they get their mammograms and all of those important things. And which I just want to say, if there are any men out there listening, men get breast cancer too. So I just want to put it out there that women are not the only ones that need to be checking their breasts.
That's very true, 100%. No, I feel like the media and stuff, you know, it used to be commercials and kind of the media and social media. I feel like companies used to really just kind of be, you know, kind of go at it full throttle with, oh, everything's going to be pink. I just haven't noticed that as much as here, I guess. So maybe that's something I'm looking for. So I don't know.
Okay, yeah, I have my own, and we'll talk about it when I'll talk more about my experience with breast cancer, both from a family standpoint and then some, you know, really taking an ownership of your health. That's one of the discussions that I'm definitely going to bring up based off of a situation that I've had to go through. But outside of that, how was your week? How's your week been so far? I mean, we had the long weekend. I don't know. Did you get a long weekend?
No. We had to work for you're supposed to call it Columbus Day, Indigenous Day. You're supposed to, like, I had to work, so we don't get whatever that day is. We don't get it off. But it was also Canadian Thanksgiving, so which still doesn't matter because we're not in Canada. But yeah, so it was also Canadian Thanksgiving, so we didn't get that off either. So no, I did not have a long weekend, just a regular weekend. But I'm getting ready to go to New York City tomorrow, and then I'm going to, let's see, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont. I'm getting all those, hitting, I'm checking off the northeastern states that I've never been to before, so I'm excited about that.
Well, that's cool.
And yeah, I don't know what to pack. Like, packing's gonna be hard because we're, New York, we're going, I'm staying with my friend Jen in East Village, and then we're going down to, like, we're gonna be in Manhattan and doing all the fancy stuff. So I think that it's more, just doing all the fancy stuff. And so then I'm going to go to Vermont, do all, like, the hiking stuff. So really trying to figure out what to pack is a challenge. But I think I'm getting it. That will be.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry about that, though.
Well,
My next 10 days are gonna be super, super fun. When in Seattle, by the time I come back, because it's weird that there's 3 hotels this month, so by the time I come back in November, like we'll be at back the first week of November, I will have gone to I will have been to, let's see, 5 different states. Oh, I've gone to 5 different states, so that's exciting. I've never been to Seattle either, so besides
Oh,
there.
okay. You know what? My cousin Ashley lives in Seattle.
Oh, really? Okay,
So
I'll have to hit you up
yeah,
about that
so I have been.
because yeah, that's I'm so yeah. We're staying near Pike's. Was it Pike? The Pike Place or whatever, the marketplace. I know we're staying near the original Starbucks. And yeah, so I'm excited. Lots of sightseeing in 2, 3 weeks, and so I'm really, really, really. That's my excitement is what's to come.
Okay, wow. Well, for me, my week was actually pretty good. It was somewhat relaxing, and I did do some work because I managed to finally get through all the edits of my book. So
Oh,
I'm finally
great.
for that. Yeah, since when I pushed it back from September, I realized, I said, I'm not going to be in a rush. So it's been
Yeah.
at different editing phases, and so I finally got all of the recommended edits done.
How many pages
So
is it?
Well, you know what? I have not done it in a book form. I just have manuscript pages.
Yeah,
So
okay,
I
yeah. How
have,
many manuscripts?
okay, so I have around, yeah, so I have around 99 manuscript pages.
Okay, cool. So probably like then it'll probably be about 150 book pages. I'm pretty good at doing the convert. I mean, this is what I do for a living, so I'm pretty close on the convert. It's only because this is literally that's what I do for work. Because sometimes they want stuff in a book form. So I'm guessing that's a pretty good. That's gonna be a nice sized book. What's it gonna be about?
So it's called I Am Not a Stereotype. And I think I posted this
Okay.
online before when initially I was going to
Yeah.
release it a little sooner. But it's called I Am Not a Stereotype. I am her. Her is spelled H dot E dot R because HER stands for different things. And I shared that it was derived from a poem called I Am Not a Stereotype, IMHER. And through the poem, which is in the very beginning of the book, I go through what HER means before I even start the book. That's the first
Yeah,
thing you
okay.
see. But really, it is my own personal challenges in life dealing with, my own race and culture and my perspective and of things that I've gone through. Having, being well, multi-ethnic actually, because I'm Mexican, Indian, and Black. And so, you go through your life with different phases. And so I talk about those things. I talk about my relationships. I talk about my thoughts and perceptions on being Black or being mixed or, but basically overall, I can't be boxed in. I shouldn't have to be boxed in. And choosing to be boxed in does not make me not, feel as though I have to conform to rules of no matter what race I choose to be. I mean, by meaning of like I'm Mexican, I'm Native American, Indian, and I'm Black, and I shouldn't have to make a choice to say that I am just Black, I am just Mexican, I am just, I don't want to be boxed in. And so, but I do talk about a lot of those things and how race relations fit into that. So that's what my book is about. And so I've decided to let it be a birthday gift to myself. So it will release on November. I know it released on November 8th for my birthday. I'm trying to now. I have a PR person that's going to be setting up my book signings.
Oh, that's awesome. Did you
Yeah.
self-publish?
I am self-publishing only because way back in the day, I had my own publishing company. So I already knew what I needed to do to publish. with the ISBN
Great.
number so that I can choose to put my books into stores if I want to or anything else like that. And, of
Yeah.
course, it'll be available on my website.
Yeah, and are you going to do a digital copy on, like, Amazon, all kinds of stuff, too, for Kindle?
I intend to, maybe not immediately, but that I
All
will.
right. Yeah, it's because
Yes.
it's real easy to make it. It's real easy to convert to a book. Super. I mean, you can do it in Word if you, it's, I mean, once you figure out how to do it, yeah. But it's real easy to convert to a .mobi file when you can put it on Amazon. That's awesome.
Well,
I
maybe
had to do it when
I will consider that.
My old boss tried to write a book, so yeah. But yeah, and it's
Oh,
cool,
okay.
you know, it's, yeah, so it's easy because, you know, people, you know, so much stuff's electronic now, which is really neat.
Of course, of course. So you know what, this week, you know, let's talk about our WCWs for the week. Who would you say is your WCW for this week? Who gets that recognition from you this week?
I want to say I liked some of the, I mean, they weren't bad. I want to say I liked some of the female candidates in the debates last night. I think that the one, the lady from Minnesota, she, I can't pronounce her last name, it begins with a K. I know how to spell it, I can't pronounce it, don't want to screw it up. I think she, like, she was kind of a dark horse that did pretty good. She gave really good answers. I think she was kind of, I liked her, she was really realistic. They all sounded like, all of them, the men and the women, everyone sounded like a politician. All these people, like, I love when debates come around, it doesn't matter if it's Democrat, Republican, debates come around, and they're all promising all this stuff. Like, they're promising us everything. You know how it is? The one dude, Yang, $1,000 for every American every month. Okay, cool. Wow, that sounds great. No more debt. Like, all the stuff that they're, like, some of them are promising us, I'm like, nah, we all know it's not going to happen. But hers, like, I kind of liked hers because hers seemed more realistic. So, I guess, see, I mean, it's, and, but it is, it's still good to see, I don't know if there, but in 2016 there was some, but just, this is probably, hasn't really probably been since, like, the last, I don't know, what, 20 years since women have, there have been women actually at the presidential debate. So, yes, yeah, so that was pretty exciting stuff, seeing at least, you know, the being serious contenders, being
okay.
Women being serious contenders for president. And despite
okay.
the fact that they, you know, they gave politician answers, it was still good to see them all up there. So I'll give it to all four. There was four of them, I think. One, two, three, four. Yes. One, Warren, Harris, Tulsi, and then the Kayla. Oh, yeah, there was four of them last night. So I'll give it to all four.
Who was yours? So mine, well, actually, I actually have one of mine who's a friend of mine who
uh-huh.
is a breast cancer survivor, actually.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and so I thought that, you know, let me have my WCW, who I admire a lot, having not only fought the fight with cancer, but also won. And her name is Laurie Kopus. And so she's had a very, you know, difficult year. I mean, she lost her husband and, you know, just after going into remission. So, I mean, I think that that level of just strength in a woman is amazing. And so I did get word that she was trying to call in, but it just kept ringing. So trying to, you know, work out to get her on the line so that she can come on, because I think her story is absolutely powerful.
Is that a ding I heard that someone's coming in?
I did not hear a ding.
You didn't hear a ding? I heard a faint ding. It could be, I mean, it could be
oh.
a ding in my head, though.
You said it could be.
I'm pretty sure I heard a ding on the line, so we'll see if she's on there. But that's a good one. I was whenever you ask that question, I always think about, like, the things that have happened this week, and then I don't think outside the box as far as even the theme goes. I think, okay, what's happened this week? And of course, all I can think about then when I'm asked to think about the last week, all I can think about is the last 24 hours. And of course, I come up with the first thing I think of. But that is great. I do. My aunt survived breast cancer. She's alive and well. You met her at the wedding. She survived it, and she's doing good. And I've had, you know, other people, you know, distant family members, friends, moms. A lot of my friends' moms have gone through it. Some unfortunately haven't made it, but it is. yeah, it definitely, everyone knows somebody who it's happened to, and it really doesn't, breast cancer doesn't really discriminate. You can be black, white, Asian, Hispanic. You can be super, super healthy. You can be not in that great of shape. You can be wealthy. You can be poor. It really, it's one of those things that it's equal opportunity. It's definitely an equal opportunity disease. Sure, you know, you can say, oh, you can be healthier. You can try to do things to mitigate it, but in reality, it can happen to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
No,
okay.
That's why I think makes it so scary is even though it can happen to people who don't smoke, it's not like, oh, lung cancer, you only smoke 20 packs a day, you know, your whole life, kind of, you're going to put yourself at significantly more risk. This one, there's, yeah, more of, way more random.
Oh, okay. Well, I think anybody who goes through that is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I'm trying. I'm sorry.
No, I'm having technical difficulties here.
Yes. So I'm trying to get it rectified now. Anyhow, so while we get our technical difficulties worked out, let's have a talk about the importance of owning your own health, because I think one of the things that I know I had to be faced with is that your primary care doctor can make mistakes, not be on point, because they do see it a lot. And so even if you go annually and if you make changes to them, you have to be empowered to go in and ask for your certain level of care. I myself went for my annual physical this year, and I actually had to tell my primary care doctor, hey, I think it's time for me to have a mammogram. It had been 3 years, because, you know, after a while they said every 3 years you should go if you test negative, you know, if you have no issues. And I said, okay, fine. So when I did that, I went, and I went from one mammogram to having to go back to having to have a breast ultrasound. And, you know, that's kind of fearful for me. And then I also looked at my chart, and one of the things that struck me, I had my other physician, because I had changed since the last 3 years, of course, it was annotated that I need to have breast exams every year.
Oh, wow.
Every year. And not once did my primary care, when I was going to see her, and I was seeing her for 2 years, never once looked at it, and I had to bring it to her attention. And you know what? Even when I brought it to her attention, she said to me, oh, yeah, I guess it is time. You guess it's time? That, you talk about a poor level of patient care, and then to have to be drugged through all of this. The other part that bothered me is that during my physical, not once did she touch me.
Really?
Never. Wow. She did not do a manual breast exam. So if anything would have been wrong, I would not have known. Now, I do my own, but, I mean, a lot of times people can do their own, and I'll be quite honest. I have no idea sometimes what I'm feeling for. That's why I try to go to the doctor annually to make sure that, you know, my breast self-checks are fine.
Yeah.
But just
That's
to know
that,
that I
that
went in there. Yeah, I went in there, and she did nothing. She just kind of listened to my breathing, and that was pretty much it. I was like, oh,
wow.
This is a very interesting exam. But you know what? Just recently, I went through the same thing. I had another physical, and it pretty much resulted in the same thing.
Wow.
They asked me a bunch of questions. I answered the questions. And I think that it was just time for me to find a new primary care, which is what I did. I now have a primary care. I have not seen her yet, but I did make a change.
Well, yeah, definitely. Because even... I've never had a mammogram. I'm not at the age, and I don't have the risk level, but they still do, because every, you know, our insurance, like the insurance, they send you the text, the letters, the emails, like you have to go for your annual lady parts exam, which is like, oh, okay, whatever, and then they always do it then. So, yeah. Because your insurance, if you don't go, like, they're going to annoy you until you do go, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. Well, because if you think about from a private insurer's perspective, it's better to prevent stuff. It's better to spend what do they probably even spend on their end? They probably spend, what, like $200 paying for their portion of just a basic, like, annual woman's exam, and it's better to do that than have to be like, oh my gosh, now we're gonna pay thousands of dollars, you know, should she get cancer. It's way, and like it gets advanced, you know, like if you're like, oh, you can spot something early on if you take it. The insurance companies, the private ones, they're in it for the, you know, they're in it for the money, so they want to prevent things. That's why they're so much like, okay, get a flu shot. Flu shots are free. You know, they want to prevent things before they go, before you get too sick, because then it's going to cost you more money. So yeah, which is, you know, it's good in a way, because it's, you know, it's a win-win. Also, as a patient, you know, you get to make sure that, you know, was it copays, like my copays like $30. For $30, you have peace of mind of mm-hmm. knowing, you know, that nothing's good, nothing's bad, or, you know, that you got to go get something checked out. So it's, yeah. I haven't had the pleasure of having a mammogram yet. You're awake? Like, it's not like you don't go under for mammograms, right?
No, you do not get put out for a mammogram.
Machine, right?
No,
well,
yeah,
but
no, they do.
The machine, right?
They do smash your boob.
Yeah, machine, right?
Like, but yeah, but they don't put you under for that. You go under a little machine, yes, and at various angles, but that's about it. No, they don't have to put you under. It's not like having a what do you call it, colonoscopy done.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad. Yeah, glad I'm not a dude, or I guess older women have to get those too. But yeah, that sounds I'd rather do the. I think I'll have to get the boob squishing machine first. So yeah, that's not looking forward to it. But again, at least it could be worse. So
yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So
you know what? For some reason, we are having some major technical difficulties because. On one hand, she's trying to call in, and on the other hand, it's not going through. So hopefully we can get her on the line shortly.
Is she dialing the right number?
Yeah, she's dialing the right number.
Yeah, because we're at this.
So that's the number, I mean, the same number, huh?
The 719-820-9171 is our call-in, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's our call in tonight. That's at least the number that we called in on.
Yeah.
With no issues, so it's kind of really strange.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of. Interesting. Well.
Oh, she said she's been calling for almost 20 minutes. So that's kind of, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. I don't want to hang.
No, you know what? Hold on a second. He just sent me the same number. That's what she's calling on. I don't know. Yeah, this is kind of strange. Okay, so hold on. Stand by. Keep the conversation going for a half a second, and I'm going to try to bring her through. Hold on.
Okay, all right. I'll keep talking. Yep.
Laurie, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Laurie. How are you?
Hi.
I had to bring you through on a different way. I'm so sorry. For some reason, we're having a bit of technical difficulties, but I really, really wanted to have you on the call today to talk about, you know, one, you're a breast cancer survivor.
Yes.
And so I guess the first question is, how did you find out?
I had a lump, and it was exactly 6 years ago. I had a lump, and I went to get a mammogram done. And they immediately saw something. They took X-rays, all this kind of stuff, and they sent me straight to a surgeon. And he said, I can look at it and tell you it's breast cancer. It was very quick, very, very quick.
Wow.
They just pushed me right on in there, and you know, it's amazing. Just the people here were incredible, the doctors, the nurses, everybody. Incredible.
So how do you process that? If things happen that quickly where you found a lump, you went to surgery, how do you process that?
It's very difficult to process it. You are thinking that, first of all, you're thinking bad thoughts, and that's a normal thing to think. But for some reason, I felt very calm about this, and I don't know why. I want to say that God was helping me. but I felt extremely calm, and they said, we're going to go in and do chemo immediately. I did 3 months of chemo. I did my surgery, the mastectomy, and then I did radiation. And the whole time it just felt, I knew everything was going to be okay. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. So, and I know you, I remember reaching out to you before because you did lose your hair. And
yes.
So did that, I guess, was that of any value to you? Did you go through any emotional changes when that started
yes.
to happen? Or was it one of those things like, at least I'm alive, that's all that matters?
No, it was, I'll be honest, it was very devastating. And I know people should not worry about what they look like and if they have hair or not. But I just think for me it was very devastating. Not to, and there, you didn't have eyelashes, you didn't have eyebrows. It was just, it was not a good time, not a good time. But I did go, they had a class at the Breast Cancer Center where they taught you how to put some makeup on to try to draw some eyebrows, and they were really, really helpful, very helpful.
Oh, my God. You know what? I never even gave thought to how much hair you lose, because I know you
yeah.
lost hair on your head. I did not realize it's your eyelashes, it's your
eyebrow. Mm-hmm.
Somewhat known about the eyebrows. However, you don't really think about that as much as the hair.
No, you don't. You don't. And nowadays, it seems so much different. People are walking around, women are walking around bald. Nobody even thinks about it. It's just kind of the norm, whether it's cancer-related or whether they just shave their head. But I think a lot of women felt very vulnerable, you know, without hair. That's
okay, so I have to say this. Even though that's the current day, it's not,
mm-hmm.
I want the audience to know that it's, we're not talking that you just had cancer 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
That you've only, yeah, you've only, and how long have you been in remission?
I guess 5 or 6.
Okay.
It's been 6
wow.
years this October, so, you know. But
oh wow!
It was something that changed in me afterward. I felt, like I said before, about this calm feeling. I feel calm about everything now. I don't stress about anything because nothing can hurt me. I became very strong.
Well, you had to have. I mean, I just, I went through a similar just scare, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of things wrapped around my head. You know,
mm-hmm.
where I didn't feel calm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did not feel calm at all, not 1%. And just knowing
wow.
that even when I had to go and have the ultrasound done on my breast,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and she then after that was done, the doctor came in because I still couldn't
mm-hmm.
leave, and so she did another one. So going through all of that process was freaked me out. It literally freaked me out, and then you're waiting to get the results
mm-hmm.
of everything, and then when
mm-hmm.
they finally called and they said, you know, everything came out negative right now, but we need to see you back in a year. And then what I was also told is that my mammogram will always have to be in 3D, and I would 9 times out of 10 have to have a breast ultrasound done. That still doesn't make me comfortable.
I can understand that.
Yeah, so I admire your strength for even going through that. And you have 2 kids, so how did you explain that to them?
Oh, that was hard. We actually took them to Myrtle Beach for a 4-day weekend, and we told them, and they were very scared. They were about, let's see, they're 14, 8, something like 8 years old, and they were very scared. They didn't know anything about cancer. I told them everything was going to be fine, and I told them everything that I was going to have to go through. And they were awesome. They were my rock. They joked about me not having hair. You know, they put on my wig, you know. So they were really very helpful with making me feel better about it. Definitely.
Did you ever feel comfortable with your bald head after a while, or did you just prefer to wear a wig?
Yes, I did. I tried the wig because I got it free from the birth cancer place, but I didn't care for it, and so I made turbans out of T-shirts.
I remember.
Yeah, you remember that? Yeah.
I remember that because I said that my t-shirts are so small that there was no way that you would probably be able to utilize them to wrap around your head. So, but I did send you a box of t-shirts because I said, well, I sent you scarves.
Yes.
Was it t-shirt? I think I sent you scarves.
It was scarves, yeah.
Yeah, I think I sent you a bunch of scarves because I said, well, I just know it's, I'm extra small. So, well, at the time I was an extra small. So my T-shirt wasn't about nothing if you would have taken it apart. But I think, you know, I just want to let you know, and I remember when you became cancer-free, and it comes around, and I'm sure it's getting ready to cycle around if this month you'll be celebrating your anniversary of remission, is that I actually had a glass of champagne to celebrate, you being cancer-free.
I remember you did, and I have the picture on Facebook that you sent me. It's beautiful. I love it, and I appreciate it because it makes me feel good that other people know you went through this, you're a strong woman, and, like, I feel like you're, like, saying, you know, that's why I guess that's what I'm saying, is I feel like you're saying you're a strong woman, and we love you.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I'm sure a lot of people who are close to you, you know, had to provide some level of support. What was your community of support like?
Well, my mother lives right here. Now she's only a few houses away. And obviously my husband and children, and I have an aunt and uncle that live nearby. And they were all, you know, very, very helpful. It's very strange the way I started to do chemo, and my mother would come or my husband would come. And I thought, you know, I don't think about myself very often. So I thought, you know, why are they going to sit here for 3 to 5 hours while I do chemo? So I think I had somebody with me for 2 chemos, and for the rest of them, I just went by myself because I don't, you know, I just felt like, you know what, this is my journey. Not that I don't need the help, but the help I needed was at home. That was the help that I needed, for people to cook for me, for people to, you know, make sure I'm doing okay, because chemo can knock you out. I mean, and radiation does as well. So having the support system, I was living with my mother at the time, so she and my husband took over care of me.
So first of all, I have to go back to what you said. Chemo was 3 to 5 hours?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my gosh.
You sit in the chair while they put it through your system, and it's my first couple of rounds were 3 hours, and then the second time I had a stronger chemo, and that was 5 hours. And you don't want to just sit there for 5 hours. But I was okay doing it by myself.
So what did you occupy your time with for 3 to 5 hours?
Just reading and listening to music. And sometimes you would talk to people. You're actually sitting in a chair with a bunch of people all around you, and they're all having the same thing. So, you talk to people next to you and things like that.
So I saw that on television. I just didn't think that was real.
Oh, it is.
Well, you know, that you can see, you can sometimes, you know, with whatever they're trying to get to, but they, as a matter of fact, it's what, the simple things or something like that, that show where the girl was going through breast cancer and she was going through chemo, but she was sitting around and a lot of people were there. And I honestly just thought that was their way of community. I didn't realize that people are actually there with you, right there in your presence for 3 to 5 hours. Well, that's kind
it
of
not
I think it'd be. I think it'd be difficult just to sit in a room by yourself for 3 to 5 hours.
Yes,
so that,
I think
that concept is probably a really good idea.
Yes. And one thing that I think is real important for people to understand is comedy. You have to laugh at things. I mean, you just really do. That was my relief. You have to laugh at things. And sometimes people, like right now, my cousin is going through chemo. She had her first chemo this week for breast cancer. And she's maybe not as, she's a little more of a worrywart than I am. And so it might be more difficult for her, but anyone going through this needs to have a very good attitude because you've got to go into it full force.
Okay.
And don't think anything negative. Try to keep positive thoughts constantly.
So when you were having chemo done for those 3 to 5 hours and other people were around, were they all as positive as you are, or is it one of those? Okay.
No. Everybody's different. You know, you see people that look so sad and everything, and I'm like, you're alive. That was my point. I'm alive, and I'm doing this to stay alive. But some people just don't have that same mentality.
Yeah. Did you have chemo first or radiation, or you did them together or one followed the other?
I did chemo first, and then I had my mastectomy, and then after the mastectomy I had the radiation. The radiation is, oh gosh, it's five times a week, exactly at the same time every day. for about 9 weeks for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but so, it's quick. It's very quick.
Okay, it's not as long as the chemo.
No, it's not, thank God. And it doesn't hurt. It doesn't, you know what I mean, it doesn't, there's like really no side effects to radiation at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, chemo, you know what that does. And chemo also, you can get your immune system goes down. So if you were to go out while you were doing chemo and then your immune system was down, they said you either don't go out or you wear a mask. So there's so many things with chemo that, you know, affect you. I got shingles because my immune system was down.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, shingles are
That's awful.
It's like electric shock to your body. It was awful.
Oh.
But again, I'm alive. That's all I care about. I'll do what I have to do to survive.
And see, this is why you're a warrior and
mm-hmm.
a victor of, you know, and a survivor of breast cancer. And I just
and kidney.
And kidney?
I'm laughing. Wow. I shouldn't laugh. Yes, ma'am. I got kidney cancer 1 year later.
Oh
my
gosh.
All they did was go in, they did surgery and took a piece of it out, and I'm fine.
Did you have a
I'm kicking butt, okay? Scamalong,
yeah,
I'm kicking butt.
You sure are. You definitely
yeah,
are.
Yeah, definitely.
Zoe, did you have a question?
Oh, I was asking, did you have a kidney transplant, or did they do like treatment on the kidney? Because I've heard of kidney transplant, but I just wasn't familiar.
I can't hear her.
She said, did you have a kidney transplant, or did you?
No,
did
no.
You took the area? Okay.
Yeah, it's called a nephrectomy.
Oh.
They just go in and take the infected part out.
Okay.
And they just make sure that the margins are all clear, so you're okay.
So you have all kinds of reasons to just be celebrating life.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
When is your birthday?
October 26th.
I thought so. It was coming up. And I'm just thinking, you that has to mean something to be able to see another birthday.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every day is special for me. Every day.
Yes.
Well, happy early birthday.
How often do you go for checkups now, or is it more often than, I guess, annual appointments? Do you have to go every 6 months or 3 months right now?
Well, I was doing 3 months for the oncologist. Now I'm on 6 months. They test all my blood work and do all that good stuff. And then you have to go to the urologist for the kidney, and then I go to my surgeon still once a year. But it's definitely gone down because in the beginning you have to go a lot, checking. And I have my mammo, of course, once a year as well.
Yeah, and that's important.
Absolutely. Very. Oh, my gosh. If I could scream it from the rooftops, you know,
so
and check yourself, too. That is so important. That's how I found mine.
So let me just ask, because I check mine, and quite honest, mm-hmm. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Oh.
I think part of it, mm-hmm. I have to, because I have what's called fibrocystic breast.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so, to me, everything feels like a lump.
Right.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'll tell you, if you felt it, you would know it.
Okay.
mean, it's normally it's just a hard, round, like a cyst type thing, and it can be painful, but... The best way to
it
do
feels
that,
like a ball.
It,
if they said it feels like
yes.
a marble, is that right? Is that
yes,
right?
That is
I'm
correct.
Like,
yes.
Up. Okay.
Yes, and the best way to check yourself is in the shower, with soap
uh-huh.
on you and your one arm lifting you straight up in the air. Best way
yeah.
to check.
In my
really?
In my college, when I was in a dorm freshman year, that's why I saw the marble. They had in the showers. They had in each woman's shower. They had this thing that hung in the shower, and it was like a placard that, you know, like a card, a waterproof card that had how to do a breast self-exam, and it talked about the difference, and it talked about feeling like a marble, it talked about the difference between, like, feeling like fatty tissue, they talked about what
right.
the difference, like, fatty tissue and
right.
kind of just normal tissue felt like, and it really was helpful because it was like
very
we
nice.
Were learning at, yeah, every, yeah, I mean, we're what, 18, 19, and you're learning that, it's right there in your
right.
face, you know, it's in a place where. And then there's, like, a line. It's, like, if you feel it, like, if you're worried about this, go to the campus health center. It was a place where women, it was just going to be a woman in the shower, and it was
wow.
right there every single day. And I think that was – and I still remember it, you know, because
wow.
I lived there for a year. Yeah. So that's why I was
that's
asking.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that anywhere else. You know, you think, like, maybe at gyms and stuff like that, but I've never saw it anywhere besides my freshman year dorm.
Oh my gosh, what a wonderful idea.
Yeah. Well, you know, now at least I know to use soap if it's easier to find.
Yes.
I guess for gliding purposes, maybe?
Yes, ma'am. Soap is perfect.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to have to use soap just, you know, when I'm in the shower. I mean,
yes.
I think this is all good things. Any other tips that you would like to give to people for self-checks and or the importance of self-checks or just getting checked?
Yeah, I mean, the importance of self-checking is you can't say enough about that. And if you find something, go straight to your gynecologist immediately. And then they'll send you out to get the mammo done. And then sometimes, like you said, you have to have an ultrasound done. And people get nervous when you hear the word ultrasound because they're looking for something. But it's good that they're looking for something so they don't find it.
Well, you know what? Now that you say that, I guess I shouldn't complain because at least they did go extremely far to make sure that I didn't have any lumps. And what she said was, I'm trying to think of what is it called? That's under the arm, the lymph node.
Oh, the lymph node, yes.
Yeah, so that was their main concern, that I had issues with the lymph nodes. And I was like, okay. I just want to know that I'm okay. That was the main thing that was important. But even after having a regular mammogram, having to go back, be called back and say, oh, now we need a 3D.
Oh.
So
that's hard. That's very scary. I know it is.
And so that was my first introduction to, oh, there's more than one type of mammogram. But I think that women need to understand what that really means, that when you first go in, that first mammogram is very basic because, you know, this was not my first mammogram. You know, I think this was my third mammogram.
Good. Good.
And so, yeah. But also, my great-grandmother at 89 got breast cancer. And then my great-aunt also had got breast cancer, I think, in her 70s. And so while I always let my doctor know this because I never knew my grandmother. My grandmother passed away when my mom was 18 months old. But my great aunt that got breast cancer was her twin sister, and my great grandmother was her mother. So there was too much of a connection of a link to me that they couldn't ignore because they would never know if my grandmother would have gotten breast cancer. So it's a very scary position to be in because when you say, but some doctors, I remember one doctor say, oh, that's too far down. It doesn't matter. And
oh,
I was like, that's
no.
not too far up the chain because they said my mother and did not get it or anyone else directly in my family, like my sisters or anything like that.
Right.
But still,
but you know
too
what
much of a direct link.
In that same vein, you can get a blood test for the BRCA gene, BCRA. That's the gene that carries breast cancer. And I'm not really sure what the other cancers. I think it might be prostate and somewhere in the reproductive tract. I'm not sure which one, but it's called the BRCA gene, BRCA. You can get a simple blood test, and that will, it can tell you if you have the gene. And if you have the gene, you could possibly get breast cancer and other cancers.
I wonder why
so
don't they test for that?
Predisposed to it, right?
What's
yes,
that?
You know, to be predisposed.
It lets you know that you're a predisposed. Yeah, like
right.
you don't. It doesn't
right.
say, oh, you got it definitely, but you're predisposed. Yeah, that's really good. It's when you kind of know to be more aware of it. That's great.
Right. Well, some people have the BRCA gene and can get it, but then there's others who don't have the BRCA gene and get it.
That's
so,
why I was saying earlier. Yeah, it's so random sometimes.
And Angelina Jolie. She went ahead and had the mastectomy because she had the BRCA gene, and her mother passed away and her aunt passed away. She went ahead and had a mastectomy without even having breast cancer because she was that afraid, and I can understand.
So let me ask this. I mean, you might not have the answer, but even if you have a mastectomy, do they remove all the lymph nodes also? Is all of that gone? Can you not feel?
What they will do is they will go into, like, I only had my left side done, and so they went in and looked at the lymph nodes as I was being operated on, and they could tell, so they pulled out the ones that were infected. And, you know, got to a good one, and now I have a hard time lifting my arm up, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But,
so are there any other after effects now for you, whether it's from chemo or from radiation or even from your mastectomy?
Nope, nothing at all.
You just feel
That's
like
awesome.
Normal.
I feel like normal.
Wow. I think that's so amazing. And so I'm telling you, we do appreciate you coming on to the call. I mean, I can't stress enough, you know, how much of a survivor and how much strength you have. And I've known you for years, and you've been through a lot.
Yes, I have. I thank you.
Know, even before that. And so
yes, ma'am.
you are one of the most resilient women that I know, which is also why I was sharing that, you know, when I picked my WCW for today, I was so glad you came on the line because you are
thank
it
you.
For Breast Cancer Awareness
thank
Month
you.
For
thank
our
you
call
for
today.
Me. This is me.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate
no,
it.
No, thank you.
All right. Well,
thank
you know,
for coming
we
on.
To,
that was awesome.
I know. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And so we're going to just, you know, say cheers, and we're going to – this is a cheers on your behalf for being a survivor and a victor. So to our pink war, and our drink today is Pink Warrior.
I love it.
And so, you know, and it's
thank
a gin
you,
drink. All right. So you
all right, you all take care.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Wasn't she amazing?
That was great. That was awesome. Yeah, that was definitely great.
She was
story and that.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. I mean, I absolutely love her energy. I love her spirit. And
yes.
She's been through a whole lot. And so you can't get, I don't think I could have found anyone better for the call to share the importance of breast cancer. I mean, I learned a lot because I did not realize that chemo was 3 to 5 hours.
I didn't know that either. I did
that's
know that they all sat
time.
That they sat in chairs together. Yeah. You sit in the chairs like about the size of, like, you know, like it's about the size of a pedicure chair, and you sit there. It's like you have an IV, and people let me read books, just like going in, and you're fully, you know, you're wearing clothes, and you usually do. It's a group setting where you sit at.
Yeah, well,
that is a long time. It's not pain free. You know, I think a lot of times people get sick during it, and it's really it's hard on the body. It ravages the body. I know that.
You never had to have a mammogram?
No, I know you're not supposed. You don't have to start getting them until you're 40.
I had my first one at 38.
Yeah, I'm not 38 yet.
Okay.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, and maybe you're also. I think since you might have like military health care, they sometimes have you start earlier. But like private insurance doesn't have you start until you're 40. Yeah, so I saw that, like, a while.
Okay.
Unless I find something, yeah. And I'm not I don't have family history, and so, yeah, so I won't probably get mine until I'm 40.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
and,
you know.
It could be your doc. Yeah, it could be your doc.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm grateful that, you know, that I started getting mine at 38. I mean, especially to be twice as cautious. And even though you're supposed to have them done annually, like I said, since 38, I've only had three of them. 38 was my first one, 40 was my second, and then this time at 44.
Yeah. I think my mom only gets hers every 3 years or so because she's not at risk. Yeah.
Well, normally, I don't know why, you know, mine was charted on my one when I was 40 that I need to have one done annually. But that's just
didn't you say you've got, like, some sort of, like, different, like you say your tissue, you know, because your tissue's a little thicker or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
didn't you say, like,
fibrocystic breast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then that's probably, well, I mean, that's probably why. Just better to be safe than sorry, you know, because it might not be as easy to tell. Because, like you were saying, you don't really know kind of the difference about what it's going to feel like, but, yeah. A marble. That's what it's gonna feel like. A marble, you say.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is that I wasn't. You know, when you've never had a lump, you don't really know what to feel for. And for me now, just with Laurie coming on and explaining, you would know. It lets me know that I'm at least doing something right.
Yep. That is. Yeah, you are doing right. Use soap.
You said him.
You use soap. I remember that.
I
in the shower thing. Yeah, use soap when you're doing your self-exam. Yep.
See, now what I'm going to do is when I get in the shower, I'm going to be constantly like, okay, let me give myself a breast exam. I mean, I'm going to soap up every day anyway. So, you know,
sometimes
twice a day, I may as well make good use of it. You never know. But then, you know what I also read talk about breast cancer is that sometimes it's your partner that you're with that can find the difference for you.
Yeah.
If you're in a relationship, hey, he better be filling you up.
That's a sure way
to, you know, that you can make sure that you are checked. But then, and here again, when we were talking about men, I remember when I had was having my last breast, my mammogram done, and it was just a struggle because, I mean, I had to do it from the side, and, you know, it was just a mess. It wasn't just, I didn't feel like it was as basic as the first time I had it done, or the second time I had it done when I turned 40. But I was telling her, I said, I have boobs, and she's struggling with me still just to get the right view. I said, what about men? You know, I said, she said, well, men are the same way. I said, men actually get mammograms. See, I was under this the assumption that men got ultrasounds because of this. They really don't have, well, I won't say not all men have boobs because there are some men who have boobs. But, if a man has predominantly muscle, then how is he getting squeezed? And she said the same way. I was like, little breasted women. And I just thought to myself, that has got to be the most painful thing because I have boobs and it's the most uncomfortable thing ever to have your breast smashed and then squished. Because, I mean, one, they smash it down with their hand, and then they lower the contraption down on top of it and then tighten it. And then they say, okay, hold your breath. I have no choice but to hold my breath.
I know, right, yeah.
Because it is the most uncomfortable thing. But just knowing about the statistics for breast cancer, I'm fine with doing it. You know, it makes it all worth the purpose of going.
It really is. It really, really is. Think about like lady exams, like when we have to get the lady exams done. It's like that talk about it sucks. That sucks. And you know, men, they're gonna have to get the colonoscopies and the whatever they have to get. That sounds painful too. But it sucks. But like it's still, if you can do that to prevent future a lot more pain in the future. You know, that's temporary pain. That's true.
Preventive medical care. It goes a lot further, and it's a lot cheaper. It's a lot cheaper than having to actually go through the process because, you know, I can't imagine that, you know, surgery is expensive and chemo is expensive and radiation is expensive and hospital stays are expensive and a $30 copay seems real inexpensive to having, you know, preventive care done.
Yep. Exactly.
Or no copay, depending on what your plan is, you know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But regardless,
and that's why
I think I'm great.
Yeah, I'm grateful. And that's why I'm grateful about the health insurance. When Obama did Obamacare, he made it so that every person in America could be insured, even if you had a cancer in the past, because a lot of times places are going to be like, oh, we don't want to insure this person because they're a high health liability. Like a car insurance place might be like, oh, well, we don't want to insure you because you've been in 3 car wrecks in the last year. Well, Obama was basically like health insurance can't be like car insurance. So that was one of the really good things about Obamacare. Now, obviously, Obamacare is not perfect, but that's an important step, is making sure that everybody has the ability to be insured. And I had to go on Obamacare because our old company, we got to be too small. They basically said there's only 3 of you and for health insurance, so we're kind of kicking you off the plan. You guys aren't in a group anymore, so you don't get a group plan. So we all had to go on Obamacare, and it wasn't great, but I think that was the most, was the $35 copay with a $5,000 deductible, but it was still like they couldn't ask you any questions about your prior health. They could only ask you, they only adjusted your rate based on whether you were a smoker and your height, weight, blood pressure. So your basic stats, that's all they only adjust it slightly there. So, so it was more about, but everybody, you know, it was to hopefully make sure that nobody has to deal with those catastrophic health hospital bills. Whereas in the past, they could have been uninsured, and they would have dealt with the catastrophic bills.
Okay.
Yeah, so we still have a long way to go as far as health insurance goes, but yeah.
But you know what? Let me tell you about the Obamacare. I think even if you didn't have something that was a precondition, I think the fact that it gave way to prevention. So people
yeah, exactly.
who didn't have health insurance because they felt like, oh, I never get sick, they have
right.
an opportunity to at least go and be checked. And if you can get the, if you can make sure that your cholesterol is good, your blood pressure is good,
uh-huh.
and all these, and your blood sugars are good, and you, as long as you're able to have preventive care done, I think that's the most important thing, as that somebody can tell you that, oh, you're on the right track. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
As opposed to not getting no kind of care. I mean, quite frankly, I know people who pay insurance and still never go to the doctor, even if they're sick.
I know people like that, too.
So with it, to me, it just it opened up the door for people to
yeah.
attain preventive care, which still will cut down. Now, on one side, it might look like it's more costly, but other countries have been doing this for a long time. And I
That's
think
true.
That it was about time that the U.S., stepped up to provide some level of medical care, because now people are getting, are finding out a lot earlier that they have things like
yeah.
breast cancer, that they have things like kidney cancer, that they have things like colon cancer and all of those other things. And those things, that life is so valuable at the end of the
yep.
day.
That
so
is
let's
true.
Talk, so coming up on the next Herspiration Happy Hour, Zoe, what do we have coming up next?
I think we're going to be talking to some... We're going to be talking to some writers. We're going to call, I'll call it Writer's Wisdom there. I just made it up, like, in a split second. Writer's Wisdom. I'm going to bring on a few of my colleagues in who write professionally for a living. Not just talking about, oh, hey, I like writing. We're talking about people who have been published at the national level and hear what they have to say, kind of about the struggles, the good, the bad, the ugly. And I think it's going to be really exciting because you hear a lot of people say, oh, I want to be a writer, or my favorite, I am a writer. No, you're not a writer. Like, you can't write. You're not a writer. You know, you're a blogger at best, and you're not even good at that. That's what I think about some people. But, you know, if you really, really want to make it, what it takes. So I think it's going to
oh,
be really
Oh, I think that's
going to
be awesome.
Really I'm excited
yeah.
about it. Yep, so it'll be in 3 weeks because this month's a weird one, so it'll be in 3 weeks.
Yep. First
Wednesday
of November. And so how can people connect with you?
Twitter and Instagram at Zoe Shrugged, ZoeSHRUGGED. Find me on Facebook, Zoe Zorka. I'm literally the only Zoe Zorka in the world. If there's a fake account, you'll know it's not mine because it won't be nearly as clever and witty as me. Like, I accept all friend requests, whatever. Everything's out in the public. So, yeah, find
okay.
me on the find me on the social medias.
Okay. Well, you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at I am Dr. P. Gurley, IAMDRPGURLEY. And like I said, I'm on all major platforms. And, you know, of course, with Herspiration Happy Hour, you can find us on Facebook and on Instagram at Herspiration Happy Hour. And so we look forward to you tuning in with us. You know, of course, this episode will be available on the podcast within a couple of days so that you can go back and get some, you know, first of all, hear the amazing testimony of Laurie Culpus, who was absolutely an amazing guest
yeah.
today, and we thank
she
her again
great.
For coming on and sharing her story because, you know, not everybody has to, but the fact that she is one of the people that I admire, I'm really, you know, really thankful, and we're really thankful for her to come on and share her story with us. And, of course, until the next time, you know, we're going to enjoy this Pink Warrior on behalf of, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and what we will say is that for you, both men and women, check your tatas, and also, if you know, use this month as a reminder. If you have not been to the doctor to, you know, for a breast exam, and you're over 40, or you are high risk, you know, find yourself there, make your appointments, and you know, be seen, because your life is valuable to somebody. Do
cheers.
You have any last words of wisdom before we
no,
head
just,
out this evening?
Gonna say cheers. Yeah, cheers. Cheers up.
All right. Cheers, and until the next
okay.
time.
All
righty.